Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast, recorded live in the BHP studios, Detroit, Michigan, with your host, Team BHP.
The BHP podcast is proudly presented by Vanguard Outdoors. Learn more at vanguardworld.us.
Hello, welcome to the Bow Hunter Planet Podcast. It's myself, Dave Thomas, Tim Mazzirana, Jamie the No Boom, Chris Schnurr, and Ashley Schnurr. And there's some kids here, too, for BHP Kids, but they're running around. We'll have them on later. But anyway, what we're going to start our conversation with today is, first off, Chris hit a 325-yard balloon, which is pretty sweet.
Smoked it.
And on top of that, he hit a target system at 356 yards, I believe.
Yep, 356.
Which was awesome. And that being said, we're going to talk to Chris now a little bit about target shooting. Because, you know, in order to make that shot, you really did have to be a target shooter. It was so, it's so hard to shoot that kind of distance and be that accurate. Is incredible, really. Obviously, the products have a lot to do with it, but you can't, product or not, you're not going to make this shot just if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that was a crazy shot. I mean, there was a lot of preparation to go into that. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure a bow hunter could do it, but it'd be a lot of target style training to get that actually done. I mean, that's,
I'm just going
to
go out on a limb and say I couldn't even come close.
Nah, I ain't going to even get close myself.
It'd take me that long to probably shoot a 100-yard shot with a balloon.
Let's say this, by the time you ended up doing all the training that you, it would be necessary to make that shot, you might as well just consider tournament archery. It might be in your future if you you can start doing that.
How
for
steady
sure.
you were was actually incredible on it. Here, click this one.
But, you know, I mean, we did a lot of stuff with that. I mean, we spent a lot of time with that bow. That bow was a pretty solid setup for us to use. I thought it kind of funny when they made the comment about the arrow rest, actually, where I had that located. That was something I was actually wondering if anybody was going to pick up, and for the guys over at Bowtech to immediately notice that in the video right away was kind of a surprise.
Walk us through what happened
with the whole shot.
With the rest.
With the rest. Okay, so there's this thing called torque tuning, and in some bows it's not very necessary. Some bows it is, and some shooters it is. Some shooters they're not. Basically, what it is in my bow hand, because of the way I hold a physical bow, and the style of the grip, I was I induce a certain amount of torque into my grip. So with that being said, I had to actually push into the bow a little bit differently. And what that did is it caused an adverse reaction in the rest. So what I could do is I could move that rest further back and actually over the bending part of my wrist or right over the top of my wrist so that the torque in my hand didn't have that much of an effect on the arrow. It made it a little more comfortable for me to shoot it, made it a little bit easier to be consistent with. For that shot, I mean, if I wasn't making a 325-yard shot, I don't think that's where I would run that rest on a daily basis. I mean, looking at it, we did a lot of powder testing, a lot of spraying a lot of powder on the backs of the arrows, on the back of the arrow rest itself, making sure we weren't getting contact, and which says a lot. I mean, dynamic brace height versus static brace height makes a huge difference, and for that was only 2 inches away from the string, so that tells you the dynamic brace height on that bow is actually a lot higher than I guess you would think for a 6-inch bow.
It's a lot of target talk.
Sorry, I accidentally geeked out there for a second. That tends to happen.
I still just woke up. I don't know.
So it was farther back.
Yeah, so basically the rest was closer to the string than it was to the bow. We'll just leave it at that. It's so funny, in my day-to-day job, like, there'll be times where I'm sitting there talking with a customer, and we're setting up their bow, and all of a sudden you get that deer in the headlights, and they're like, huh? Their head kind of tilts back slightly on their shoulders, and their head goes back, and they're like, You're like, oh, I lost you. Let me rein that back in. Let me move your whisker biscuit to the left, and your bow will shoot better. There you go.
So it's not just me.
Okay. Yeah, the most technical I get, like my rest, my drop weight rest, the cord kept moving on me, and it just jacks up my whole shot. So I pulled it off and threw whisker biscuit on there. I'm like, I can't handle it anymore. So I got to find a way to fix it. I usually use the little football attachment, and it just kept moving.
Oh, come see me. I can fix
yeah,
that.
So yeah, keep it. Tie it in.
I just got to take it to Chris.
Pull back. Yeah. Point. Release. That's,
we got both Ron's bows set up like that. So I got his. He should be dialed in for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. Go.
He should kill something big with those bows.
Yeah.
So tell us, Chris, what does it take to get in target archery, I guess? But don't put us to sleep. So figure out.
Right.
Don't give too much information. Yeah.
Don't geek out. And that's why I got Ashley here for, to not geek out. You know, it really just has to do with the love of archery is really what the most important thing is. Like I've told people before, I've had a lot of conversations about this. If my bow is ever dusty, check my pulse. And then if I'm still breathing and still alive, find out what's hurting. Because I'm always going to shoot my bow. Mm-hmm. Even my hunting bows. My hunting bows never sit. They're always getting used. They're always, they pull out in the basement, and we shoot a couple arrows through them every once in a while to make sure they're all happy and everything's all hunky dory with those. But no, I mean, if you've got a love for archery and you love bow hunting, getting out and shooting some targets, it's just going to make you better. Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys talk about what? They talk about pie plate accuracy, right? You get guys coming out two weeks before season, they throw 10 arrows in a pie plate at 20 yards and they go, hey, let's go shoot deer at 40. I mean, I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm just saying that you get a lot of guys like that. And I think there's a bigger crowd of people that actually truly love the sport and maybe just don't know about all the other opportunities there are out there. I mean, every major organization, with the exception of USA Archery, has a bow hunter class.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's the same setups you guys are taking to the woods. It's the same setups that you can go buy a kit bow at Cabela's or Bass Pro Shops or somewhere like that, or and take out and shoot. I mean, are they competitive classes? Oh, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah. I mean, there's guys in the bow hunter class that are shooting scores just as good as the amateur freestyle guys and probably could come contend pretty dang well in the professional classes as well with bow hunter setup.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
So there's, I mean, you know pretty much everything there is about tuning a bow and getting a bow set up. So
not everything.
But, well,
stay humble. not everything.
After you have the longest shot probably in recorded history, I think you can probably, you know, hold your own. But for that beginner target shooter, what are the basics? So you talk a lot about, you know, how you tune it and different adjustments that you can make. Mm-hmm. What do I need to know to get started?
Turn the bow down. That's the biggest recommendation I got. I mean, I sell more 70-pound bows in a month than we'll ever sell a 50-pound bow, we'll ever sell a 60-pound bow. I mean, we sell 70-pound bows. It's really what everybody sells. Yeah. And a lot of guys have that premise that 70 pounds is what I need. But you don't. You really don't.
I mean, finally came to that realization. Yeah. I don't think we really even order 70s anymore. We take 60s.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so much nicer. It's the Bowtech I got now. It's like a joy to shoot. I'm not, you know, after 10 shots, I'm like, well, you know what?
Mm-hmm. In Michigan, we're not getting long shots.
No.
I mean, you might get a long shot here and there, but do you really want to take it?
No.
Yeah. I mean, especially with a broadhead. I mean, we can tune pretty darn good with broadheads, but you never know. Yeah. You just never know.
You call him Hail Mary at last light.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hoping for the best, right?
But I mean, us here, we have a new bow every year, pretty much, and we have to learn how to shoot it. But I live in town. Like, I have a 20-yard shot in my backyard, but I don't shoot as much as I should, to be quite honest. I mean, I got a couple places I can go, but if I had acreage or something where I could go out and shoot, you know, I'd probably shoot a lot more. But I'm not going to lie, I'll go a month without shooting my bow. You know, and then season comes around, and I got to go rush and, you know, get a couple hundred shots and make sure I feel good. But.
Well, the really cool thing about target archery is it basically opens up about 50,000 acres in the state, or 20,000, 10,000 acres, whatever it is, of shooting space for you the second you start playing target archery. Yeah. I mean, it's instantly, that's yours. Because
what
if you
do
look
you mean
at,
by that?
What I mean by that is, I mean, bow hunters like to shoot animals, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's what you do. Every single weekend from May to, I think, up until
August,
October, right around there, September, there's a shoot. And it's a 3D shoot. And it's yeah. and it's all those classes, all those 3D animals that look just like the animals you're going to go shoot yeah. in the woods, even some that you aren't going to shoot in the woods. I mean, there's a Reinhardt shoots up in Saginaw. I don't think we're going to see any giraffes in Michigan.
There's Michigan one up in, we have a cabin in Engadine, Michigan. There's mm-hmm. one at the Hiawatha Sportsman's Club. I guess it's over a mile long and it's like 50 animals or something.
Yeah, there's
like
a,
an
there's
alligator
a bunch
in
of
a swamp and all this crazy stuff. I haven't gone to it yet, but I'm
but almost every local club has at least once a month has a 3D shoot that their members put on and so I mean but I mean you got IBO, you've got ASA, you've got in Michigan here you've got a fantastic organization in IAA, which is a new upstart that's really family centered. I mean the hardest thing I know that I hear a lot of guys saying or I was hearing a lot of guys saying was that it's hard to get a day away from the family to go out and shoot because the wife's got a to-do list. She's got things that need to get done around the house. But if it wasn't for Ashley, I don't think I could shoot as much as I do. I mean, I'm gone pretty much every weekend between when do we start are we ever not gone?
Right.
We get hunting season off. That's really what it sounds like. I mean, that's reality.
The month of October.
We've got shoots going all the way into September. Yeah. I mean, so September, we're still shooting. October, we're finally done. I mean, I'm still super busy with my job, but I mean, September... you're getting ready for hunting season, still trying to fit a last minute tournament in. October, you're hunting. November, you're hunting. But December, tournament season starts. I mean, we got the Midwest Open December 8th. I got to remember how to shoot a 5-spot and still try to figure out how to shoot a 3-spot target at the same time.
Right.
And get new arrows set up and get new bows set up and get on. But I won't complain about setting up new bows. That is one thing you'll never hear me complain about. I love to do it.
So what is the
Yeah,
we kind of heard that earlier.
Right. I love to play with the bows. I just
so what is your standard 3D shoot or tournament shoot look like? Like if I'm showing up for the first time, what can I expect?
So it's really kind of cool the way 3D shoots work. So at the state and local level, you're going to show up to let's say you go to a IAA shoot or IAA, which is International Archers Association, I believe is what it stands for. So say you go up to that shoot. And you gotta, it's your first time. You're gonna tell them it's your first time. You're gonna tell them you've never done this before.
Yeah.
And they're gonna put you with a group of guys, then you're gonna have so much fun. You're gonna be addicted because that's what they're trying to do. I mean, every organization wants to grow their organization, so they're gonna make sure you're gonna have fun. So here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna come in, you're gonna pay your $20-$25, which is what a tournament costs really for 3D for your standard events. And then you're gonna probably wait about a half hour to an hour. And basically what that is, there's practice bales for you to shoot at, maybe some practice animals for you to shoot at, but there's always an area for you to practice. They'll get you in a group of 4 to 5 guys, send you out, you get to go play, shoot, 30 targets?
Mm-hmm.
30 to 40 targets, depending on the event. And then from there, they kick you out, they say go home, maybe you stop, have dinner with a group of guys you made some new friends with. Join some Facebook groups, and then next thing you know, you're there every single weekend, and your wife wonder what happened to you. I mean, that's really
but
what it
But whenever there's
down
somebody
to.
New, they always get excited. Everybody's always excited to see somebody new and introduce them to the sport and the tournament.
The other age classes, or how does that? How does
work? It's really divided. So I mean, there's division among like the type of equipment you're going to shoot, the class you're going to shoot, the distance you want to shoot. I mean, your comfort level in the sport. I mean, they've got classes like that are called bow novice, which is a known yardage class out to 25 yards. So, I mean, you have a 25-yard max. Like, you will not shoot a target longer than 25
there
yards.
There we go. So, now you, see, now you hook me.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's even a course that you literally walk up to and
I can throw the arrow at it.
You could throw the arrow at the target. But I'll tell you again, it's a tough class. There's guys out there that are going to clean those courses. Now, cool thing is most of the organizations are really, really good about kicking you out. I mean, they'll say, hey, you've been in bow novice now for 2 years. Congratulations, you shot really, really well. Welcome to bow hunter class. There's 300 guys waiting for you because they've been hearing about you in bow novice.
But, Tim ain't leaving.
Yeah. But,
make me.
But no, I mean, they do a really good job of that. And even those guys that are down there competing in that class, they love it. I mean, you're walking that course with a rangefinder. So you're walking up to a target. And what I always tell people is even the guys that are shooting those classes when they're just starting, walk out there with a rangefinder, but before you click it, guess that yardage, because later on you're gonna need to. Yeah. When you get into like Open Pro or, well, I mean, now ASA, you're getting a huge growth in the known pro class. I mean, that was huge when this sponsors started throwing money into that class for contingency and stuff. But you're getting tons of participation in known yardage classes. I mean, go out there with a rangefinder, click it. Hey, you don't have to worry. That was one of the things that kind of got me off 3D for a while, was the fact that I can't see yardage. Like, you can tell me a target's 20 yards away. Great, I'll set my sight to it, and I'll nail that thing. But you tell me to guess it, I'll guess it wrong every time. I love my clicker.
Yeah. So I guess another thing that I've noticed, and it's probably a reason that a lot of people don't get started, is that they don't feel comfortable going into a pro shop. You know what I mean? They feel intimidated. You feel like you're going to walk in there, because I've experienced it, actually. Yeah, yeah. You know, some shops you walk in, and if you're not buying a $1,000 bow, they don't want to talk to you. If you ask a question that, you know, is kind of dumb, quotations, you know, they're going to make you feel stupid.
So, by talking tech.
Yeah, no.
No. I'm kidding. By guys like Chris, this show. Dynamic presiding. Talk about Archer's Paradox.
You know, not everybody can afford a $1,200 bow. So, you know, what can I get for like $400? You know, I think people need to do a better job of inviting everybody in. Not every bow needs to be 70, like you're saying. Right. There needs to be some 40s, 50s.
Not everybody even knows their draw length. They're even out of measure their draw length.
Nobody knows their draw length. When you're starting, nobody knows your draw length. Yep. I mean, you can't walk in and be like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm a 29.375-inch draw length. No. No way. You can't do it.
So how do you measure the draw length appropriately?
So this gets really... I'm going to keep this short.
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be surprised if mine's off.
Let's cut to the commercial. We'll come back at the end.
I did the arm length divided by 2.5 or something, and I've always shot 29.
Well, that is. That's exactly it. It's you take your arms, you stretch them out to your side, relax. You don't reach. You just kind of stretch them out to your side, and you divide that by 2.5. And whatever that number is what I will call your starting point. Yeah. I mean, because it's not your draw length. I'll tell you that. Because... if I do it, I measure at 29. If I shot 29, I'm really crunched up because I have really narrow shoulders. I don't have broad shoulders. So another way that people will do it is they'll take your wingspan minus 15 inches, divided by 2. That's another way it gets you close. Like I measure at 29, I shoot, depending on the release, I'll shoot either 29.375 or I'll shoot 30. Actually, the setup I'm running right now is 30 inches and it looks really long on me. But that, I mean, as shooting that Bowtech at 30.5 inches with 72 pounds kind of made me want to experiment a little bit with the setup I was shooting right now. And I actually found that at 30 inches, I can just, like you talk about those pins sitting completely still, not moving at 20 yards. I'm actually feeling the pin not moving at 20 yards. So
pretty exciting.
Not sure where to go now.
Dude's in computer world.
Yeah.
I started talking about arrows and he went.
I forgot what happened. He lost me. So we talked about target. Let's talk about a little bit about the rut, since now we're getting transition to hunting. So supposedly, according to John Cedar, which is always factual, he went hunting the other day and he saw deer all over him, he says, and he shot a doe and it ran around in a big fat circle and came back and dropped in front of him 10 yards and died. But he said there was bucks chasing.
I'm waiting for the video.
That's not the first person that said it either. They're starting to chase. It went from 80 to 50 that one day when we were camping, and then they just moved.
Yeah, and I've heard reports, and obviously we're talking about Michigan, but I've heard reports that November 2nd, 4th, somewhere in there, is going to be peak rut season, which is it's 2 weeks early. I mean, those gun hunters aren't going to have anything left. So it's I'm excited. I mean, it is not often that you as a bow hunter really gets to hunt like prime rut all the time.
It did it last year. I think it kind of ended right when we got there on November 10th, but the week before, all we heard about was all these, they were working construction where we have our lease, and there was 150s running by the workers, and they wouldn't work anymore. They just spent the next 3 hours trying to find the deer again. Where they were not there when we were there.
Yeah.
So we missed it. And I hope we don't miss it again.
Well, this year's been weird with the weather.
It has been.
I mean, opening day it was 80 degrees?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 80, 85.
Mm-hmm.
which is, I think, a little similar to last year, but it got colder quicker last year. It stayed pretty mild here up until about this week, so.
It got warm again today. It felt like it did.
It was up to 70 again today, but it, 70 I think another weekend. Couple days it's supposed to turn around again. So, what's the big difference? Not in technique, but what's the big difference in your approach when you're hunting rut versus none? What do you do differently?
Actually, you don't have to be as careful because they get really dumb.
Yeah, they're chasing everywhere. I mean, from what I've seen over the years, they come into anything. Like, it's not even like. You're basically hunting just to see the deer, and then once you see them, you need to start like grunting and getting ready, because like the odds are they might run through. I mean, a couple years back, I remember I was hunting in state land, and I saw a deer to my right, and I was just like, I'm throwing a grunt out. I threw a grunt out, and the spike turned around and started coming right at me. Like, sweet! Yeah. Like, I wasn't going to shoot him, but actually, I would have shot him back then. This is a long time ago. It was like 2004 or something. But I remember thinking, like, this is the time, you know, this is crazy how quick that thing just turned about face and came right in, you know, and it was like 15 yards from my tree stand looking around and, you know, but I think it's a different kind of hunting. If you see them, that's the key. You gotta sit.
Well, I guess that's like the point I'm trying
pretty much all day.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of the point I'm trying to get at is that you're not just sitting anymore. You're actually actively.
Oh, you're moving around. Yeah. You don't have to be, it's not necessarily about being perfectly still like you kind of are in the early season. It's more about locating them quickly and then trying to get them in. So, like, for instance, Ron's going to Illinois coming up, and one of his things about Illinois is he told me today on the phone, he said, dude, it's a whole different world there than it is in Michigan because the big bucks are running around. And it's different because they actually respond to rattling. They respond to you rattle, you see a buck come running in. It's a whole different level, he said, than it is in Michigan. There, for some reason, the animals are more attentive to that kind of thing. Whereas in Michigan, you rattle, you're most likely not seeing a deer. I mean, you might be able to grunt them in, but I've rarely ever seen someone rattle.
Because the buck doe ratio is correct.
Yeah, there. So the point is, why fight for a doe if there's like 10 other ones waiting for me?
Yeah. Right.
But
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, like in October here, especially if it's hot, I'll only hunt till like 10.
Yeah,
I only hunt 3 hours in the evening because they don't come out till an hour, 4 hour after light.
Right, you're staying
out. But the rut, as long as I can.
I saw some. You're gonna be right in it, dude. Next week, you're gonna be like right in it. The biggest thing for you is. He's got to be ready. I mean, they're going to run by, and you got to stop them. You got to have a grunt or do something to get them to stop, take your quick shot, but you should know your distances beforehand.
I'm going to try the armpit fart maneuver.
That's good, yeah. I've tried so many different things. I've yelled before. Nothing usually doesn't work for me. But the problem is when I yell, I get nervous. I'm like, I draw back and went,
I've tried to stop them so many times, right? And then they go a couple more and then stop behind a tree. And then you're like holding back. You're like, come on.
Yeah, that's the worst.
And then put down
a gun. What's the longest you've any of you have ever held on a deer at full draw?
Probably a minute. You can't go much longer than that. Now you can with like an elite or something with a nice back wall. But the bows
so
I had.
So what's yours, you think?
Maybe a minute. No. That's the one I had to put Chris? Down. He ran away.
Mine was last week. And it was 3 minutes.
Oh yeah, no.
But I'm lucky. But that 90% let off just sit there all day.
Did you get it or no?
No.
No.
It wouldn't move. Yeah. And finally it was facing me and it backed up. Like it saw me and it just like slowly backed up. It's like I know you can't shoot me head on.
Ashley?
Probably not too long, maybe just like a minute and a half.
So that's a minute. Tim, well you
at full draw, right? At full draw. Yeah. I'm gonna say 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, crossbow. You know? Yeah.
Shouldn't keep crossbow. you should throw somebody up for 4 hours. You know.
Do they have crossbow tournament?
Let's go put a comp.
They do have a crossbow.
If you put a comp on Tim's hand out there, someone's gonna get hurt. Okay.
Let's just be honest.
You might die.
It will probably be me.
Probably.
And I will probably break it.
Oh, you're breaking it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
I'm not. Yeah,
but don't worry. There's
I wasn't joking about that 25 yard, you know, tournament. Like I was serious. Like I would actually throw it.
Got those little recurve crossbows out there, pulling it back with his hands, shooting it, pulling it back again.
Is that a Nerf gun?
Yeah. What
is
that? My longest hold on a deer, and I know this exactly because it was on video. with 4 minutes and 56 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
With the Strother Wrath SHO. So, probably not the best back wall.
Got a 70% let off, though.
Yeah, it wasn't even, and it hurt so bad. But
I gotta
so
see
cold.
This video because I really don't believe it.
I can imagine it. His whole upper body is like this, just shaking and gyrating.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You couldn't even make it.
It was 15 degrees, blowing wind.
Oh, jeez.
In Sandusky. And this is when Strother invited me to come hunt with him. Corey Upper, who's actually on our team now, his dad used to own Strother. He said, come on out to the Sandusky land. We got 300 acres. You can hunt. We'll shoot a deer on film. So the goal was to take turns. So here I am, this climber. Can't feel my hands. Can't feel anything. It's freezing. These deer come in like water just pouring because of the corn. They throw corn out. These deer just come flooding in. But they're all small does, right? And he's like, no, we're not shooting that. You got to wait for a big one. So I'm like, all right. So all of a sudden he goes, here they come. You know, I look up. It's getting dark now. And I can see, it's all snow though. You can see, you know, ways. I see this herd of big does coming in. But I see a buck, but it's a small buck, and they have a rule, you know, four better or something like that on the one side. But anyway, so here comes this doe. So I'm like, he's like, get ready, you know. So she's coming in. She's beeline for the corn, you know. These little deer around the corn ready. So I'm like, all right, cool, here I go. So I draw back the bow like this over the climber. I'm sitting down. And the quiver, the arrows brushed the metal. Like, ching! Like this, and it jumped back and ran. I'm already at full draw. I know I'm like, all right, I'm stuck. It ran back 10 yards, and then it worked this way for the next four minutes, 56 seconds, worked its way back in. And I'm like this. He goes, just try to hold it. Just try to hear Corey like, above me. He's like, just try to hold it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I just shut my eyes, and I'm just like, no, I'm starting to get like, you know, this. But it's freezing. And I told myself, this is it. Like, if I let this bow down, it's game over. Like, this deer's running. There's no way I'm going to redraw on this deer, and this is it. I mean, it's like 15 minutes to dark, you know, and I'm freezing. I spent, you know, hours out in this 18 degree blowing wind. This is only like 5:30 at night, you know. It gets dark earlier. This is like in December. So I'm like, so it comes, and finally it's got, now it's in my shooting zone, but it's got shoulder back. I'm like, just take one step. I'm thinking this in my head. My arms are just burning. Like, I'm at this full burn. Finally, it takes one. As soon as it takes a step, it didn't even get its arm fully over. I was like, that thing didn't go 20 yards. Rage to the cage.
Nice.
Very proud of that moment because I was like, I did it. You know, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe. Corey's like, I can't believe you held that bow that long.
The longest 4 minutes.
It was the longest, dude. Right. But it was scary. It was long, but it was like nerve-wracking. Because I'm going like this. Eventually, I kind of did one of these, you know? Like, I was trying to go like this and just stretch my neck out. And then I'm like back. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't know what to do. Because it was like, it could see me if I moved. Mm-hmm. But man, smoked it. That deer didn't go. But anyways, it was interesting pulling it out, though, because there was 2 feet of snow. And it was so easy. It wasn't easy, but it drags real easy on the snow compared to, like, you know, the ground.
Oh, yeah.
But you're also going through 2 feet of snow to step. So it wasn't fun. I remember sweating, but being freezing, the sweat freezing on my neck as I sweat. It was so cold.
How far away was that shot?
That far was all 15 yards, 15 20 yards. Yeah, pop shot. But it had to make that step. Oh, I would have killed it quick if the arrows didn't hit. If I didn't have my quiver on, which I normally don't do.
I've left my wand one time and that happened to me.
Yeah, I'll never do that again. I made that mistake because it was a tight spot. You know, it was close to the bow.
Right.
I didn't think much of it. And I had it hanging. It was freezing. I'm like, oh. But the problem was that the tree stand I was in, I was in it, you know, like this. It's like close. So I had to do like this to even shoot. And I think when I did that, it just slightly rubbed and cost me a 4 minute hold. Seriously, that was like the longest ever I can imagine. And I got it, though. See, unlike you, I smoked
it. It backed up. It knew I was coming.
Well, it could have left. Yeah, I didn't think it was going to come in, to be honest. Then there was another time we went there. The first time we went there was the year, 2 years prior. And Corey invited, I went 2 years in a row. So the 1 year before that, we sat in a different spot. And he was sitting, I want to say like right next to me somehow. But we weren't that high off the ground. We were like 15 feet. And he was like right next to me. This doe comes running in. I shoot it, get it good. I hit it good, runs off. I'm like, sweet. I saw it go down. I'm like, yeah. Then it's his turn. So then I flips to him. And we're talking about a doe here, okay? It's like at 20 yards. This other doe comes running in, another doe. Just like right after I shoot the one and kill it, this other one comes in. He gets ready, pulls back, and he misses at 20 yards. I'm like, really? I'm like, dude, this is like an easy double. Like, how do you miss this doe? He's like, I got nervous. The camera's run and stuff. Come on, dude. I still give him crap about that today. Corey Upper, ladies and gentlemen. Corey Upper. Don't miss 18 and a half yards.
Miss of the year.
2013, maybe.
Yeah. So you guys shoot with crossbows a lot, right?
Recently,
yeah.
We've been tasked with trying to, we kind of look at it as more of a testing thing, because I've never shot a deer with a crossbow in my life. So this year, I was like, you know what? It was early season. It was raining. It was miserable. So I'm like, I'm going to take it out. Just try it, right? So the first thing that happens to me is I get this doe at, like, under my stand, literally. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to shoot this close, you know? I mean, it was literally like I see his backbone, you know, underneath right. me. Huge doe. But I'm like, I don't know. And then we're, like, talking about maybe seeing a buck. And I'm like, I just don't know if I want to shoot this deer. And then, of course, the deer had two babies with it. So I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, just let this one go. So I let it go, and it starts, like, doing all these, like, kissing to the babies and licking each other. I'm like, oh, man, this is even worse than I thought before. I'm like, just get out of here. Just get out of here.
Throwing rocks.
So they walk away. You know, I'm like, cool, whatever. And then I see one of the babies running around playing. But I thought, at first, I was like, what's going on back there? I thought maybe a buck was running in there. I see this deer just, you can't even hear it. You know, you just see this animal going back and forth in the, like, just in that valley back there. I could see it just come up the ridge and down the ridge. And it was like, it was kind of cool. But I was like, man, but you couldn't even hear it. That's why I thought it was interesting. I could see it moving, but I couldn't hear it.
It's just grass back there. So.
But anyway, so then the next day, I said, well, if I see a big doe, I'm going to shoot it. But, I don't want to bring it when it's got two little babies with it. So the next day, it was started raining, like, hard. So he's like, you going to the ground blind? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bump out to the ground blind. So I'm in my stand. I pack up cameras, everything. And I get down, walk the edge, which it was raining and windy. And so it was so loud. Like, I just spot and stop. With a crossbow, it's amazing what you could do with a spot and stop. Yeah. Like, I'm just, like, creeping, like, down the edge. And I'm, like, one step at a time with the wind, and nothing happens. So I get into the stand, I set up, you know, and I'm just about to watch a Netflix show, and I look up, there's a deer already on the pile area where there's corn and stuff. I'm like, what the heck? And it's this huge doe. I'm like, really? So then I grab this Vanguard shooting stick, and I move it over, I put the thing on it, the bow, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, getting ready to shoot it, and I'm like, I better make sure it's a doe, you know, if this is a button buck, I'll never hear the end of it, you know, so I'm going to double check, right? So I come off the scope and I'm looking, and of course it looks right at me, right? It comes up and it looks right at me. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, right? I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm just gonna scope it and fire, right? As fast as I can. So I scope it and I see it put its head down. I'm like, oh, I'm good, right? And then I knew it was a doe then. I mean, it had this big nose and everything. So I'm like, as soon as it put its head down, I was like, ping. And I swear to God, dude, that thing went right through that deer, hit the tree before it even moved. That's how fast. I mean, it was an Excalibur microsuppressor, just pummeled right through that deer with
a dead ringer.
Dead ringer. Mechanical. And it just, the backside was like huge gash, blood everywhere.
So here's a big question on the Excalibur. How heavy was your tip? The broadhead.
100 grain.
100 grain.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I shouldn't say that. We were practicing out to 50 yards.
Yeah.
And I had 100 grain. I was smoking dead. I could hit a freaking quarter at 50 yards.
I always thought it was funny. They come with 150s in the package from the factory.
But do they come with 150 and 100s?
No, only
150s.
You sure? Yeah, the micro suppressors. All the suppressors I built.
Well, maybe because it's a small arrow.
Yeah, that it's like a 16 and a half.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's way smaller than average. But I'm using a Luminox, so the weight adds.
Yeah, you're probably adding a lot of weight to it with the Luminox and stuff.
That's probably the difference.
Yeah, because when I was talking to them about it, and they said the 150s were making a huge difference, but I don't know.
Well, probably because I had the Luminox.
Yeah, Luminox probably makes
how many yardage, too, though. I mean, how far was your shot?
Mine was 18 yards.
Yeah, you're shooting closer.
But I was shooting 50 when we were practicing, no problem.
That thing had to be cooking. What, those were 355?
Oh, yeah. It went full speed.
I'm using 100 grain on the Katana, and I mean,
they're fast.
I'll be honest, though, I was impressed with the dead ringer. It was still usable. I could have put a new ring on it and still used it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow.
But now, would you ever reuse the bolt, though? Because I wouldn't.
I would. Yeah.
The bolt. You can check it over.
Why do you think a fracture issue?
Well, I've had that happen.
See, I'm not a reuse the broadhead kit.
Well, we generally don't reuse things here, but I mean, we have extra. So much, but if we were buying it, we'd reuse it. That's for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you don't have to do that. It's up to you. Some people keep them as trophies. Like Ron has every arrow he's ever killed a deer with. It's pretty cool looking, actually. Yeah. It's huge.
I kept the one for my bear.
Those are pretty durable arrows, too. I mean, the ones that are coming, what they're using, Easton bolts. Yeah, all the firebolt, the Quill, and the Diablo are all made by Easton. Yes. They're tough arrows.
Yeah, they're not like a normal carbon. They're like a texture over something.
I think they have like a micro finish or something like that. Like some of the target arrows, like the carbon one that Easton makes, uses that as well.
And this year wasn't Excalibur. I had a Crossman that I was playing around with last year, and I took it out this year. And the first shot, and I check all my bolts because you don't want to mess around. I mean, they kind of feet per second and everything. And the first shot, the bolt broke, and it snapped the string and the crossman and all that. So that's why, after that, I just decided I'm never reusing another bolt that I've shot previously.
Well, the problem is with those crossbows, you have to shoot them to mm-hmm. but you don't have to shoot the Excalibur. You can back it down.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Have you done that? Have you tried that?
Yeah, it's awesome. This is when.
Well, what I'm suggesting is the problem is you always have to shoot a bolt, and sometimes you shoot in the ground, but that's stupid because I broke so many hitting rocks. On top of, if you don't check your tongue, it could slip forward and you could go underneath it.
Yeah, well, I guess what I mean is I won't ever shoot a bolt that I know I shot through something. Like if I'm just target practice, I'll reshoot that all day long.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if you shot a bolt into the woods, it'd be stupid to reuse it if it hit trees. I mean, not even if it just bounced off them, it could probably structurally fracture it. Yeah. Yeah. But you're right, that's odd to happen, but it could happen.
That's why I like the decocking bags. Because you can,
Excalibur, you don't have to.
Yeah,
it's sweet. Same with Striker, but that's their own patent technology. No one else has that, so you have to shoot the other ones, which I think sucks. You have to shoot them because.
Well, there are more crossbows now that are.
Well, if you have this kind, you could go backwards, right?
The hand crank.
Some with you the hand crank. You could hand crank backwards. Some of them you can. 10 points you can't. 10 points you can't. You'll break the. You can break the. The AccuDraw or whatever it's called. Yeah, I've had a couple of those this year. I've had to fix because. People have shot with the AccuDraw still on it.
Ouch.
Oh.
Ouch.
That hurt their arm is spinning.
No, they don't know. The AccuDraw, they pulled it out, left the crank assembly, they have like a U-shaped slide. Uh-huh. They'll crank it up, leave it in there, pull it out, and then they shoot it, and then it just breaks it right out.
No way.
Jeez. Yeah, crossbows, you gotta be careful, man. I saw one dude's thumb get cut off.
Somebody just posted one online.
Yeah, I saw it. It was so disgusting, but I think you gotta be...
That's what I do with the kids. I make them shoot it like it's a 50 cal and put their hand back
one
hand
by their face. And they wear goggles too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you gotta protect yourself with crossbows. They make me a little nervous, to be honest, especially these new ones are so powerful, 420, 400, the longer ones like that one. But yeah, you get into those powerhouse, especially the compound ones, they make me more nervous than the Excaliburs. The Excalibur, I feel like you gotta protect your hands, but I feel like there's not much to break on it, so the odds are it's not going to break, and if it does break, it's going to be the string, and then you just redo it, mm-hmm. But
you don't have all the moving parts.
That's what I'm saying. The moving parts scare me more, because we've had compound explosions where things fly every direction. Cams are, we have crossbow explosions right here. We're not going to name names, but some explosions right in front of us. So I mean,
second shot, crazy.
So each, and look at what can be swinging around. That's my point. That whole thing can be swinging, whereas you're not going to have
that. That one was pretty scary.
That was really messed up. In fact, that crossbow,
bolt was still in it.
It broke, and everything was still in it.
Yeah, we didn't know what to do.
It fired. The limb snapped, but nothing happened. Nothing changed. So the bolt's still gonna explode. How'd you guys do that? Did you get the bolt out and then?
We laid it on the ground, finally away from us, and then somebody came up and threw the bolt out.
And then you guys dry fired it.
No, somebody put it up against the target, so we were going to get another bow and shoot the string and break it. But it
another broke. Bow, shoot the string. Was this Robin? Was that,
I think I know who's idea.
Yeah, I do.
That
too.
Was Kevin's.
Yeah,
it broke itself. It broke right
Did
up.
It fire then, or what?
No.
Oh,
it just
slowly.
Got loose and.
So I won't say the brand, but I will say that it has been a recall on that particular model.
Yeah, I know. They did tell me that. Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the reasons I asked about the crossbow thing originally was so
what
I
was the
I was,
problem the limbs
it was a front end issue, it was a limb issue,
yeah.
And it was something in the pockets, I believe.
What do you think of this one right here?
I think it's a beautiful, beautiful animal right there.
That's my brother's first bow he bought. His first Matthews he ever bought.
Did he break his wrist every time he shot it?
I don't know. This dude is legit. This whole bow.
So, a geek story on that one. I had a buddy who had one of those. It's a featherlight.
We should shoot it. You think it hurt us? Think it'd break if we shot that?
No, I don't think it'd break you. It's just there's so much hand shock to those old ultralights.
This dude is, seriously. That's like the original solo cam, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, when they were... Oh, I think Bear had one before that, so...
Well, Bear has the patent on that, to my
understanding. Yeah, Bear owns the patent, I believe, on the solo cam.
That's crazy to think that, you know.
I think that everybody thinks solo cam, Matthews.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I actually had a buddy who had one of those, a Featherlite, actually. And he was bored with it, and as most stupid tuning stories start with a couple beers.
No. Chris wanting to play with bows.
And me having extra spare parts around the house. I actually put cams from a Hoyt Alpha Elite on one of those, built custom string specs.
Dang.
And I will tell you right now, that bow was legit. It shot good.
A mixture of Hoyt and Matthews. Can't beat it.
I think we should do that next year. We should find the oldest bow we can, dress up an original real tree, like an old one-piece suit, and go kill deer.
I think what we should do is have Chris do some Dr. Frankenstein stuff on some of the some bows. We should take like a brand new Bowtech and a brand new Hoyt and a brand new Bear and put them like all together and make a mixture. Like one limb over here, one limb there.
You think we could turn a compound into a crossbow?
We'll call it Psycho.
We'll
call it Psycho.
Well, Frankenbowing's been around forever. I mean, how do you think these crossbow manufacturers came up with the ideas to get the reverse cams? Have you started seeing that stuff now with like,
true,
they're just taking the cams and throwing them around, giving them a 180 and you're...
What was the bow that has the crossbow that has, it's like in the string is way forward. We just did the review on it. Which bow was that?
Parker has one,
the Centerfire XXD.
Yeah, the Centerfire. That's the one. The string's like way forward, right? Yeah. Or the reverse. That's why. Yeah. The cams are reverse, so the whole string is way up front.
Which is an amazing concept.
Yeah, it is.
And if you look at like the way they do that, I mean... Just by flipping that cam around, what do? It's 160-pound draw weight, right? If you look at the Ambusher, that's the same lineup, speed-wise.
Yeah.
That center fire is so much faster, but it's the exact same poundage. Yeah. So if you take that one step further, what if you dropped it down to 140-pound draw weight? Now you're getting into the kids, women, lower poundage guys with maybe shoulder issues. You're totally changing that.
They did a lot of little things on that bow, I couldn't believe. I mean, they like they sighted it in. You know, what they do, bore sighted it, all this stuff to it. It's pretty cool. I'm like, why am I almost hitting arrows right out of the box?
Oh, yeah, that's right, the Parker, right outside the box, yeah. Parker's just, in my opinion, they've done such a great job on the crossbow. I mean, they've really dominated. And when people pick them up and shoot them, they're pretty nice, man. Yeah. They do a good job. And I think that's one of their strongest suits is there. Their compound, they struggle, I think, but I feel like they're not trying to compete on it, you know. Yeah. They don't go head to head with a Bowtech or a Hoyt when it comes to top notch premium bows, or you know, they're not even. Oh, so rumor has it Hoyt's launching a new bow this year, whole new thing.
Yeah, I just saw something today. Evan Williams posted something about 2018s are coming on 10/24.
It's gonna be something different, though. Yeah, that's my understanding. Like, I don't know about this new bow every year stuff.
Like,
well, no, they didn't really have one last year. They just did the Pro Defiant.
They did the Pro Defiant.
They called it Pro. It was the Pro Defiant. Yeah, but, remember? It's not a huge difference, though.
Yeah, it came out with the updated cam.
This right here supposedly is going to be a whole new look, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
It should at least be like a golf clubs and everything.
When's
like
it coming?
2 years.
10/24? Yeah.
10/24/17 is what they said the official release was. But this year's been a great year for bows, man. Yeah. Oh. I mean, there's been... Everybody's
killing. Hope y'all ready to spend some money. That's all I got to say.
You can blow $1,500 on a bow and fully set up this year. And I mean, tons of companies came out with new products. It's been stupid.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 10/24, here it is.
Yeah.
Who's ready?
Is that what they were saying on the tagline for
what
it?
What is happening with this computer?
Is it plugged in?
I don't think it's a power issue. I think it's the computer's just old. Screen just shuts off and on. Whoa.
Nice.
Whoa. I guess I can't use that. It's something to do with that, I think. Because look, now it's fine.
So here's something interesting I saw on Facebook yesterday. I was watching this video about crossbow sighting in crossbows. And I'm not a big crossbow guy, so I don't watch a bunch of stuff on it. For some reason, this caught my attention. I want to see what you guys think of this. So they were talking about what's called the crossbow 4-inch, which is that 4-inch kill zone on a deer. So they were saying taking your top reticle or your top crosshair, sighting in so that hits 2 inches high, and then you keep moving out with your bag target or your distance until you hit 2 inches low. You mark that distance, and that's the distance that you can use that one reticle on the entire time.
That's actually, you know what, that's actually interesting, because it's something that you always kind of you're always wondering when you're shooting, because they're so close together too, is where do you actually put it? If I'm at 35 yards or if I'm at 25 yards, Am I should be dead center, but should I be dead center?
It depends how fast it is. Like, so the reticle's on the katana, right, or 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was at a 35-yard shot, I'd just take my 30 or just a little bit higher.
Right.
Because it's so fast, it's not going to matter.
I've had them, though, where you have a 20, 40. You don't have a 30 at all.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And that's where you get, I think, in that area of okay, where exactly is that
sweet point? If it's that fast, I would think your 20 would hit 30 right almost dead on.
Yeah, but it's like it almost would hit within that 4 inches. Yeah. So you know, like, if my spot's got a maximum shot of 40 yards, can I just put my top pin on it and just
let it eat? Good. That's pretty good. I like that.
Because, I mean, like, me personally as a bow hunter, like, I still hunt with a target sight because I'm cheap and I won't go out and buy hunting sights.
Right.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy? I'll put a $500 target on it.
That's too risky. You drop and break it. It's crazy.
I don't know, man. I'm hunting with that Montana Black gold sight. I'm just going to tell you. I was so excited about that thing. Like, that's
boom. Shoot 150 yards out.
Yeah, that thing's on the bow right now. But, I mean.
What broadhead are you using?
Oh, right now, what am I shooting? I'm old school, man. I'll shoot the Muzzy 4-blade.
Really? I'm a fixed blade. You're good with the fixed blade?
I'm a fixed blade guy. I mean, I'm a nerd, dude. You know that. So tuning, it's...
Yeah, I kind of knew. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, the expandable definitely has its, like, it's day in the light. But, I mean, for me, my grandfather pounded into my brain for years saying, like, that whole, his old Murphy's Law, like, anything you leave to chance takes away from you. And expandables to me just have chance written all over them.
Huh.
I mean, I remember I was.
Tell that to the Rage in the Cage boys.
I sell so many of those. It's ridiculous. Oh, yeah, like,
it's hard to not. I mean, the thing is with a Rage, in my opinion, if you hit a deer square in the chest, it's very slim. It's not going to work that I've seen. I mean, I'm just saying 2-blade. But right. 3-blade, I have heard of issues in the past. I'm sure it's fixed by now, but I've never shot their new one, though. I know they have some new weird-looking
the Hypodermics?
One. Not that one.
Talking about the 3-blade?
I haven't shot it
I thought they had a different design now. They have some weird flat head, like real flat. Or am I thinking G5?
No, G5's got the dead meat, which is like an updated version of the T3. A better version of the T3.
I'm not sure about that one. I haven't really...
No, I've shot a Rage of Deer one time.
What are you hearing at the store?
Rubber band broke.
Did it really?
Rages, and it opened.
Is what?
Rages.
I mean, this you're hearing at the store?
Like, I mean, so Rage, if you look at their packaging, they changed their packaging. It used to say 2-inch cut, 1¾-inch cut, and now everything's got a big plus sign next to it.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to the guy about it, the rep for the area, I was asking him, like, why has everything got pluses next to it? What are you saying? Are you trying to say it's bigger than 2 inches? He said the average cut off of one of those hypodermics has been 4+ inches.
Yeah.
No, we just had one guy kill one with it. Yeah, and two guys, big hits.
But no, I mean, Rage has been doing fantastic. NEP is always a killer in the game. They do fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
What about Ramcat? Hear anything on the Ramcat?
We don't have a huge selection of them, but they tend to be selling down. Yeah. We're getting a lot of them going out. Some guys are hardcore Ramcat guys.
Yeah. Ramcats have been unbelievable. Yeah. Man. Like, you talk about the Muzzy, I'd use a Ramcat all day over a Muzzy.
I've used Muzzy just because I've had them.
Have we lost one?
No.
Anybody lost
one? Never lost an animal with a Ramcat. Oh. And we've shot
kids, so everybody.
This year we've been playing with Dead Ringer, friends with Chris Bears. Over there. So we told him, like, yeah, well, you know, we'll start shooting those a little bit, test them out. So far, so
there's
good.
Some big holes of those too.
Yeah, like, well, big hacks. At least a 3-inch hole on that deer I shot, but you gotta be willing to take the risk and mechanical, like you said. You know, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Rage is an interesting one to me because it is a slip cam technology type thing, so it has to slide, which makes sense how it slides. You know, the advantage though is it slides on the front end and it comes out the back end with the same hole, so you're getting two holes and not in. Most of the time, you see it goes in, then it opens, and then it cuts through, kills the animal, and comes out with a huge gash. Whereas Rage gives you two. Which I think is what always has been the big advantage of them, and a lot of blood trail because you have blood on both sides. What happened to me though, and it's very odd, but I shot my deer with a Dead Ringer, and it's an over the top style. I don't know which one that one was. I'm not good with names.
No.
It was nasty. That's all I
think it's one of the Freak Nasty. I think it was the Freak Nasty. Is it got the little white thing at the top, and it opened it, like, underneath the blades or under it, and then when it hits the back blades, it opens almost like a Schwacker type thing.
Schwacker type of one, yeah.
Type one.
I think that's Freak Nasty.
Yeah. I think it's a Freak Nasty, but that Freaky Nasty got Freak Nasty on this doe. I mean, it really Freak Nastied her. But anyway, what was weird about it is the intro hit was huge, which doesn't make any sense because it would win in and then open technically. So how would the entrance be huge.
I wonder if it pushes back as it opens. I wonder if, because the arms stick out, it doesn't necessarily push out this way. I wonder if it's
so fast. Like this. It's so much power.
No, you're right. It goes top to bottom.
Because I think, because the package shows it open like this. So I think it grabs the arms and pulls them back. And then they open through. Because wasn't like a 3-inch cut?
It was a huge cut. Yeah.
That freak nasty. Huge.
It was freak nasty.
They got a crossbow version of that too.
That's what I shot.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like, oh my god! Like that deer didn't have a chance. I saw that deer run out like this and went do 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 down a ravine. I'm like, oh, of course the ravine. I had to fall into the hole. And I'm like, so then I go down there, you know, and first off, it gets dark, right? And these guys like keep hunting. You know, a buck could come out. I heard a grunt earlier. I'm like, this could get good. You know, I might shoot a buck too. And nothing happens. It gets dark. They're like, "Yeah, we'll come get you when we're done." So because they have to go change and whatever. So I'm like, "You know what? I'm gonna. It's raining though, so I'm like, I better go get this deer. You know, because I don't know. Maybe it didn't go down. Maybe it ran away. I don't know. So I'm like, I better go. All I know is it went down the ravine, and I saw it go into the ravine. I don't know if it fell into the ravine or you know. So what I did is I cut the corner where I saw it go into the ravine, and I start looking over there. I said, I'm not looking anywhere near I don't care about the pile. I'm going to go over around and just start looking. It's freaking pouring. You know, it's cold. Got my flashlight. I don't see nothing at first. I'm like, I know it's dead. I just got to find this blood. So sure enough, I find the blood, and it's just a massive blood trail. I'm like, wow. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. So I follow down. I go down the ravine, and I get to 20 yards max, and I look up and it's dead right there. I'm like, sweet, right on this deer trail, you know, blood everywhere. Like it definitely laid down like 5 yards before it jumped one more time and expired. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know, that's it. I'm just gonna do this. I'm gonna gut it. I'm gonna get to work, right? I'm like, why wait for him, right? I gotta do it anyway. It's not like no one's doing it for me, so
right.
I'm just gonna get to work. So I set the camera up. It's like raining. I set the camera up. I get my pack out, get my gloves on, those all the way up. I get the knife out. I start cutting the stomach. I get in. I start doing it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, done. And I'm like, they're still not there. I'm like, wow. I'm like, I'm really moving, you know? So I finish gutting it. I'm like, I got it, you know, turned around. I got this new harness I've been wearing for my safety harness. I had it on because I was in the tree and I came down and walked the edge. So I had it on. So it has this deer pull. Like,
oh, that's cool.
You know, I was like, oh. So I remembered, because we were talking about it, pulled it out of my bag, wrapped around the deer's neck, put it to my, right over my hip. There's a clip, and it just clips on. And I got all my stuff ready. I'm on the camera. I'm like, well, I'm done with this. I tagged it and everything. I'm like, I'm done with all this. I go, no one's here, but I'm going to start seeing if I can get this thing out of here. I walked up that ridge, dude, with that gut. It was like nothing with that thing. I was just walking. I'm like, this is incredible. I got to the top of the ridge. Start walking back towards the blind, stop, and I was breathing heavy then by then, you know. Got the camera out, and I'm looking, and there's still no one around. I'm like, what the heck? So then they finally pull up, like literally 10 minutes later after that moment. I'm sitting there at the top. Everything's done. So I pull up, and James is like, let's do this. I'm like, everything's done, man. The deer's right here. It's gutted. He's like, what? What? Did you say it's gutted? I'm like, yeah, it's gutted, tagged, everything. Let's go. He's like, sweet.
We did take our time. We went and had a drink at the bar.
I don't know where they went.
I'm like, bathroom.
Have you ever noticed, though? Call my wife. Every single hunting story Dave says, he's always like, it was freezing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like 80 degrees.
It was cold. That rain was making me cold. I wasn't like cold, though. I will admit that. But I did say cold. I was a little chilled. Anyway, all right, we got to get out of here. So, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. And special thanks again to Vanguard Outdoors. Go to vanguardoutdoors.us. Oh, no. Vanguardworld.us. Check out Vanguard and all their great stuff. Binos, tripods, Pioneer packs, and much more. Spotting scopes. We'll see you next time on the podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast online at bowhunterplanet.com with your host, Team BHP. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off buy rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.